We're going to start like a little mini series inside of a series. I want to talk about attitudes and actions of forgiven people. And the way I want to do it for the rest of July, that's today, and August, and September, we'll start a new series. But for the next 5 weeks, I like to do a little mini series inside of our Sunday school series about case studies of people in the Bible that I think we can learn something from regarding dealing with forgiveness and reconciliation. Amen? So let's just turn, if you will, and it's amazing that I was just listening to Jessica's testimony, and she was talking about Exodus, and I was in Exodus last month as well. I'm in Numbers this month, and there's this really great passage in Numbers. Let me just read it to you real quick. If you'll turn, and Peyton Isabella, thank you. If you'll go to Numbers chapter 12, starting at verse 1, I just want to read a few things, and then we'll be in and out of your way. Thank you for your prayers also for the sick and shut in. I understand, you know, that I talked to, and thank you, Sister Cicero and Brother Ed. I had a long conversation, two of them actually this week or last week, with Brother Charlie Bell. So pray for Brother Charlie Bell. He's, at least the last time I talked to him, he was at Cleveland Clinic, Euclid General Hospital, having some issues, some more serious than others. Remember Charlie Bell, that's my barber. He's been a part of us for a while, so remember him in your prayers too. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come together, to study together, to pray together, to worship together. We ask you, Lord, that you teach us your word. Help us, Lord, that we might become more like you. We're not trying to become scholars. We're not trying to become smart. We're not trying to become theologians. We're not trying to be anything but what you want us to be, and that is to be made in your image and in your likeness. We want to be transformed, Lord, into things and to ways and to attitudes, rather, that please you. Lord, may you be glorified today. May your people be edified. In Jesus' holy name we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Here's what it says in Numbers, the book of Numbers. Not a book that we read very often, right? But just some amazing content in Numbers. Make the Old Testament a part of your study routine if you haven't already. Here's what it says really quickly, if I can have your attention while we just plow through this. Numbers 12, verse 1, it says, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. Let me pause there. So Moses was a Semitic man, probably looked like typical Jews today. He married a Cushite woman. A Cushite woman is an Ethiopian woman. Ethiopia, the Cush, the land of Cush doesn't exist anymore, but Ethiopia is just south of Egypt. The Bible says in Jeremiah, these were dark-skinned people. So I'm thinking Moses married a sister. I'm saying, you know, I'm loving that. Moses married a black woman. I mean, she was from Midian. She was a Midianite. But the Bible describes her as being a Cushite or an Ethiopian woman, which was in a portion of Africa where everyone was dark-skinned. This was not South Africa. This was not Cape Town. This was southern Egypt. And so Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses for marrying this woman. The Bible says in verse, follow with me, Numbers 12, 2. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about forgiveness, one of the most difficult subjects, I would say one of the most difficult subjects in the Bible. Not because it's so complex in terms of its etymology or theology, or not that it's so complex in terms of its how it's configured in Scripture. It's not like understanding the Trinity. It's not like trying to decode what happened on Mount Sinai. It's not that kind of complexity. What makes it a difficult subject is that it's hard to do. It's hard to do. When you don't like me, when you don't like somebody, it's hard to deal with that. It's hard. And I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it or try to give you guys some easy panacea. There's no silver bullet. There's no quick solution. When you don't like somebody, it's difficult, especially when you got to live with them, or you're married to them, or they're your sibling, or they're your work part, your coworker, they're your classmate, they're your neighbor. It's just difficult. I'm not going to say it's easy. And so here's what the Bible gives us. I'm going to do like 5 or 6 case studies in the next 5 or 6 weeks. This is case study number 1, Miriam and her brother, her baby brother, Moses. Probably didn't know about this. Some of you may not have known about this account. Some of you may have known it and just overlooked some of the really deep idiosyncrasies in here. But I want to just try to highlight some things that we can learn from. Here's what the Bible says in verse 2 of Numbers chapter 12. They said, has the Lord spoken only to Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too? Okay, so let me just stop right there. This is Miriam. Now, granted, she's the older sister. Here's what I think the pecking order was. I don't have incontrovertible proof of this, but I think that Miriam was the oldest. Why you say that, Pastor Will? Because when his mother, Jochebed, put Moses in the little bush, in the little bushel, and pushed him down the river, the Nile River, full of crocodiles, it was Miriam as a little girl that was looking to make sure Moses was safe as long as she could. And she looked long enough where she saw Pharaoh's daughter pick her up. So she has to be pretty old. I mean, let's face it, Aaron was only 3.5 years older than Moses, according to Bible chronology. So I doubt that Aaron would have been able to go with her or do that. So I'm just going to assume by mathematics, addition by subtraction, that Miriam's the oldest, Moses is next, and 3 years later, I'm sorry, Aaron is next, and 3 years later, Moses came along. So Miriam, the Bible says, along with her baby brother, Aaron, says, has the Lord only spoken through Moses? Listen, let me just tell you something. Be careful criticizing other people that might be in a position of leadership or authority or in a position of responsibility. Be careful. Don't take pot shots at everybody that makes a mistake. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're a leader, when you're responsible for stuff, you're in a tough position sometimes. You're still human. And when they said this, the first thing I thought about was in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil himself came to Adam and Eve and said, hath God said that you will die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's kind of... Be careful, because sometimes when you challenge God's person or people that God had put in your life that's in authority or responsibility, you're in a backdoor kind of way challenging God. And it's amazing that Miriam, Moses' older sister, and Aaron, Moses' older brother, takes a shot at him. And the Bible says, not Will, the Bible says, but the Lord heard them. That's scary, isn't it? But by the way, in literary terms, that's called anthropomorphism, which means that it's a attribute, it's a human attribute that's ascribed to God to help make us maybe understand and make it clear. So this anthropomorphism is saying that God heard it. Well, God hears everything. God, he sees everything. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. So it wasn't necessary for the writer of Numbers, who most people believe was probably Moses, to say that God heard it. Of course God heard it. But the fact that the scripture would spell out and make it a point to reiterate, and God heard them. So remember, when you say something not so nice about people, when you say nasty things about people, even if you say it under your breath, God hears you. My mother used to say, God don't like ugly. Or she used to say something like, God will get you, boy. Or my mother would say, Rats knows this, even if I don't see you, God sees you. Y'all heard warnings like that? Well, Miriam and Aaron took a shot at Moses. They challenged two things, and this gets into some sort of racial difficulties too. They challenged the fact that Moses married what we can probably surmise was a black woman, or certainly a dark-skinned woman, according to Jeremiah. And number two, they took a shot as, is God only giving you information? Are you the last word? Why do we have to listen to you? God can talk to me too. I've heard that even as a little humble pastor at our church. Not any of you guys. But there was a lady that came up to me once and said, we were at Indian Hills. She said, I believe that God speaks to us today and that it takes precedence over the word. I've told you guys this story before. And that it takes precedence over the word. I don't necessarily agree with that. We got some rattling. I don't know if it's from, it's coming from, it seems like someone's finger is on a key, on a keyboard that's on Zoom. I don't know if everybody's, okay, maybe
we're,
not. Everybody's
we're muted.
Okay, all right, so it's something internal. We'll figure it out. Okay, so let me make this point. There it goes. Thank you. Thank you so much. The Bible says that God heard it. They took a shot at Moses. Sounds like a little bit of racism. Sounds like a little bit of anti-authority. Whatever it wasn't cool. And God didn't like it. And God heard it. And so here's verse 3. It says, now Moses was very humble. I like what the King James Version says. The King James Version says that Moses was meek. I like the word meek more than humble. Because you can sometimes be humble and not meek, and you can be humble and still have some sort of false humility. You can use humility as a badge of honor. You can turn humility into pride. So I like this word that Moses was meek. And when we think of meek, we think that meek means weak. But just because they rhyme, they have nothing to do with one another. Because Moses was meek don't mean he was weak, right? Matter of fact, meekness as defined by the Bible is strength under God's control. Meekness means strength under control. It means like I can do more. I can say more. I can retaliate. But I choose not to. Because God is restraining me and I know it's a better thing to do not to seek revenge. Amen? What a great guy. We think about Moses' miracles, parting the Red Sea, going up on Mount Sinai, doing all the great things. This is what impresses me. Dude had all this power. We're going to see in a second. God talked to Moses face to face. The King James Version says it better, mouth to mouth. I mean, when you get that close to somebody, you're talking mouth to mouth. You need to be married. A, I can smell your breath, and B, you know, I need some space. I need a little bit of personal space here. God spoke to Moses mouth to mouth. Isn't that amazing? I don't even hear that about other great people. I don't even hear about that, dare I say, Abraham. I don't hear that about David. I don't hear it about Paul. I don't hear that about Peter. But we hear that about Moses. So this is what the Bible continues to say as I wrap this up. It says in verse 4. So, by the way, I love this verse in the Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So being meek is a great thing to be. It means you're strong. It means that you are humble. It doesn't mean that you are without resources. It just means that you choose not to exercise your options. I can come at you, but I ain't. Here's what it says in verse 4. So immediately the Lord called Moses and Aaron and Miriam and said, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. When I read this, I read it in different translations. I'm thinking like, this is when the principal, y'all remember in elementary school where the principal or secretary would get on the loudspeaker and say, Will Robinson, could you report to the principal's office? That's usually never to get an award. That's usually never to get some sort of certificate of honor. So God says, Moses, Would you and Aaron and Miriam please report to the tabernacle after school? And that doesn't sound like it's going to be a good meeting, although I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. The Bible says, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. So the three of them went to the tabernacle. I'm in verse 4 of Numbers 12. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Aaron and Miriam, he called, and they stepped forward. This sounds like they're in a police lineup. So you too, step forward. And here's what the Lord says. And the Lord said in verse 6, now listen to what I say, as if they weren't listening already. First of all, I'm called into the tabernacle. I'm named by name, and I'm asked to step forward. Trust me, you have my attention at Miriam and Aaron. Like, why is the Lord calling me out? Like, what did I do now, right? But he says, I want you to listen to what I have to say in verse 6. He says, if there were prophets among you, this is just so brilliant how the Lord does this. I love this. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. Let me just stop for a minute and just say this. It's one thing for you to say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Holy Spirit. I trust the Lord with my life. That's easy for us to say because we do. What does it mean when the Lord says out loud in the presence of others, I trust Brother Reuben. I trust Brother Cole. I trust Tiff. I trust Mary. When the Lord says that about you, it's like, whew, your stock goes out of the ceiling. Because what higher compliment than to say, if I wanted to reveal to you guys, I would reveal to you prophets and prophetesses and bishops and elders and deacons and ushers and choir. I would reveal to you through a vision or a dream. Not so with Moses. I came and stood face to face, mouth to mouth. Woo! See, let me tell you something. They should have been like, oh, Lord. Before he said another word, I would say, oh, Lord, wait a minute. I'm so sorry. I just talked about him yesterday. Or I just said something mean about his wife today. Or I just said he shouldn't be the only one in charge yesterday. Whatever, I would have stepped forward proactively. But maybe you don't want to interrupt the Lord, especially when the Bible says he was angry. Something the scripture says about you don't fall into the hands of an angry God. You probably might have wanted to just wait until he was done. But here's what the Bible says. He is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. That even bears some explanation. This didn't need to be decoded. When God talked to Moses, it was like I'm talking to you. We're all speaking English. We're speaking the same language, the same dialect. I'm not trying to speak over anyone's head or under anyone that's condescending. We're speaking where we can understand. That's how God spoke to Moses. He wasn't dropping 8-9 syllable words. He wasn't explaining to Moses stuff in theology terms or what. He was just talking, the Bible says, plain speak, face to face. He said, he sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? Oh, that's something, right? I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when the angel Gabriel came to, I think it was Zechariah. I think it was Zechariah and Elizabeth. Yeah, to announce that Elizabeth was going to be pregnant with John the Baptist. Remember that? And Zacharias said, dude, first of all, do you know how old we are? Let's just start there. Secondly, We've tried that already. We ain't having no kids. It won't work. But here's what happened. The angel, Gabriel said, he said, this is in Luke 1. I think it's Luke 1, pretty sure. It might be Luke 2, but I think it's Luke 1. The angel Gabriel said, first of all, I am Gabriel. Let's just start there. I'm Gabriel. He says, I stand in the presence of God. Whoa. This is not like, you know, some aide for Trump or some flunky or lackey. This is not like a representative or a press secretary. This is not even like a senator or a representative. He said, I'm Gabriel. If God is here, I'm here. So I'm telling you this. And so Gabriel said, you know what? Obviously, you have a problem with instructions and with authority. So you just be quiet for the next 6 months. You can't talk. He had to write his message out. Honey, I can't say anything because Gabriel shut me up. Boy, oh boy, that's what this reminds me of. Why were you not afraid to challenge Moses when I talked to him mouth to mouth? There should be some deference. There should be some fear. There should be some awe. There should be some respect. You can't just go off on this guy or talk about him, especially his wife. How petty, because her skin is dark. And you're talking about him because I'm talking to him and ain't talking to you about management. The Bible says he was a prophetess. So Miriam was getting some information. She just wasn't the conduit for information. But God was using her. He was using Aaron. He was the only high priest. The whole Aaron covenant, the whole Levitical covenant came out through Aaron. So it wasn't like these guys weren't in the loop. They just weren't Moses. They just weren't talking to God face to face. There are so many little sub-lessons. I'm wrapping up, but let me just say this. Let's be careful of our motives. Be careful of the things that get under your skin. Simple stuff. Stuff like, you know, he's a good guy, but I just don't like his wife. No. You can keep that to yourself and then even try to erase it out of your mind. Because sooner or later, that will manifest itself in actions. And God hears it. Don't let little things deride you. Don't let them derail you. Don't get yourself in a position where you are unable to get along with people, interact with people. Like Mark said, in Sunday school, even be around people that you're uncomfortable with. That could be for some teaching purposes. I am convinced, as much as I used to complain to you guys, don't worry, I'm almost done, trust me. I used to complain to you guys about having to work for Nathan Redwine. I am well documented. Go back and listen to the tapes. I had issues. To the point that I think it translated into health issues. I had to get out of St. Louis. St. Louis, Missouri wasn't big enough for Will Robinson and Nathan Redwine. And as far as I can see, it was no problem. Nope, it was not on my end. Now, I could be wrong. I did some self-evaluation. I could be wrong. But I don't remember doing anything to get in this guy's doghouse for a year and a half. And, you know, I tried to find another job. I tried. I started calling headhunters. The guy that got me that job, I called and said, Duke, can you give me another gig? This ain't working. He said, but you're in middle management. You're a regional manager. I know, it still ain't working. But you're the only black guy that's ever made it to middle management. I know, but it ain't working. But they pay you well, and you get to travel, and you have two secretaries. Why are you complaining? Dude, this is not working. I report to Nathan R. Redwine, and he has been sent to Earth for no other purpose but to make my life miserable. Please, I'll work for it, pretty much any company you find. And so it wasn't happening. I interviewed like four or five companies, and they all turned me down. Until finally one guy didn't turn me down. And that brought me to Cleveland. But my point is that the Lord allowed me to go through that. And when I look back, I learned some things. I can tell you some lessons I've learned from that. I've learned, number one, I learned a lot of patience. I learned tolerance. I learned not to just automatically play the race card because he was white and I was black. Because that was my first go-to. Matter of fact, I had actually been counseled by someone, you should go to get an EEOC lawyer and you should go after this guy. And I didn't want to get into a litigation fight. Because once you do that, now your name, you're blackballed. Someone said, if you do that, Will, you'll never work in this industry again. And I'm so glad that that wasn't my first go-to position. So I learned some things about waiting things out and suffering, literally suffering. Amen? Amen? God doesn't always deliver us out of a bad situation immediately. Sometimes he needs us to go through a little pain and suffering so that we can learn a lesson, so that we don't do that again, so that we know how to navigate through that next time. I've not had a problem with bosses since Nathan. Maybe I learned some things. Hopefully I did. Hopefully we do, right? Yes. Hopefully Miriam and Aaron will, as we wrap up this long, long story. Let me just say this. The Bible says in verse 10 of Numbers 12, it says, this is so great, as the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. We call that, I think Andy can correct me, we call it Hansen's disease today. It's leprosy, the skin turned white. Here's what the Bible says. This is really, let me see, does it say it in this translation? Maybe it's another translation, but it was like white as snow. Yeah, white as snow. Her skin was white as snow. Listen, isn't this interesting? She's criticizing the black lady with dark skin. And God said, oh, you got a problem with dark-skinned people? How about we turn you white? I'm not talking about Caucasian. I'm talking about lily white, snow white. I just think the coincidence is just more than, I just think the situation is more than coincidental. I think it's amazing. God's, I won't say sense of humor, but he chose to turn her snow white. Because she didn't like the dark-skinned lady. Be careful. Let's be careful who we criticize and what we criticize. Deborah couldn't help if she was dark-skinned. That's how she was born, right? Moses couldn't help that he was the leader. God chose him. Moses did his best to run. He left Egypt. He left Midian. The dude is 80 years old. I mean, this doesn't seem like a guy that's ambitious for leadership. He probably didn't want he didn't want the job. He said, number one, I can't talk well. Number two, I have a speech impediment. Number three, and by the way, I'm a fugitive of the law for murder of no less an Egyptian. And you want me to go back to where I'm wanted in six different counties for first-degree murder and lead the people of Goshen out of Egypt? Not very likely, right? So Moses, I don't think, was trying to grab the limelight. He was just put in this position by God, and God had to do work on him. Finally, let me read you the last part of this passage here in Numbers 12. It says, and this is kind of like the punchline. As the cloud moved above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow. Peyton, are you on verse 10? Yes, thank you. White as snow. And go to the next verse, if you will, please. He cried out to Moses, "Oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we have so foolishly committed." Two quick things. Number one, notice the language. Aaron, who's older than Moses, is saying, "Oh, my master." showing deference, showing humility. Number two, he's admitting that it's a sin. Isn't it beautiful when you repent, when you confess? I think I put in my notes, what a progression of acknowledgement, confession, and restoration. That's what God did. Cleansing this process. And go to the next verse, please. Verse 12. And it says, don't let her be like a stillborn baby, already decayed at birth. And verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, I beg you, please heal her. I think what impresses me about this and why I wanted to bring it up is that she took a shot, Miriam, and you might say, well, why did God punish Miriam and not Aaron? Well, we don't really know for sure. I can give you a couple semi-educated guesses. Number one, she was the oldest. She should have known better. Number two, the Bible says that she's the one that made the criticism specifically. So she instigated this. And you know how, ladies, I love you, but you know how women can be somewhat territorial at times. Maybe she just didn't like the fact that she didn't like the fact that Zipporah had unfettered access to Moses. Maybe she didn't like the fact that maybe Moses was listening to Zipporah more than he was listening to Miriam. I don't know. All I see is a beautiful picture of confession, intercession, and restoration on the part of Aaron, Moses, and God. Aaron confessed. Moses interceded in prayer to pray for someone that had despitefully used him and criticized his spouse and criticized his calling. By the way, some people use the scripture, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. Some people misinterpret that scripture. I think it's over in Chronicles, somewhere in the Old Testament. Some people misinterpret that scripture to mean that you can't criticize the pastor, or you can't criticize an elder, or you can't criticize a bishop or whatever. That's not what that's saying at all. We all are subject to criticism and correction and rebuke if necessary. Amen? Amen. That's not what that's saying. That's not talking about you can't go to a pastor and say, Brother Pastor, you know, I love you, but I don't like what you did. I don't like what you said. I think you can do that. What that is saying is that those people that are anointed to do a particular job, don't challenge their calling. Don't disrespect their office. Don't disrespect the anointing or the calling or the instruction or the mantle that's been placed on them. He's saying don't go and undermine those that God has called. That's what he's saying. Don't pull a coup. Don't try to run over somebody. Don't do an end around to try to submarine a person's leadership or authority. Be biblical in how you approach. Amen? That's what that's saying. It's not saying that you can't say anything. I mean, Paul called Peter to task. He said, hey, dude, you're not doing it right here. We talk about it in Acts. You can't just serve the Jews and not serve the Gentiles. Amen? I mean, Paul himself called Barnabas to task over John Mark. Said, hey, it's nothing wrong with the dude. It's just that I don't want to work with him on this second missionary journey. I'd rather roll with Silas because Barnabas said, well, if John Mark can't go, I can't go. So Paul said, I love you guys. Peace out. Silas, hey, you want to go on a ride? Want to go on a road trip? So I think that the Bible tells us that we do have the right to make sure that what we're hearing, as the Bereans did, is accurate, and we can challenge error if we think we see it respectfully and with honor, with dignity, with deference to leadership. Amen. And so the Bible concludes by saying, but the Lord said to Moses, if her father had done nothing more than spit in her face, wouldn't she be defiled for 7 days? So keep her outside the camp for 7 days, and after that, she may be accepted back. He's basically employing the Leviticus 14, the law of restoration and cleansing for purification. That's what that was about. But what the Lord was saying is that, okay, she's going to still have to serve a little bit of time. She needed to learn a lesson. Leave this man's wife alone and leave him alone because I put him in this position. Amen? All right, I'm done. Amen. That's great. Anybody have any questions? Any questions? Anyone?
I have a